This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 29th day of April, March. 29th day of March, year of our Lord 2019. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Prepper tip of the day. I want to encourage all of you to work on your physical conditioning. Like most of us, you've probably been somewhat sedentary over the winter. Don't just get out and jump right in there doing strenuous things. Be sure you do your stretching and walking, and if you are going to run, work up to it. Do a lot of walking first, and stretching is incredibly important. My current workout includes a good stretching routine, followed by 100 crunches, and I'm up to 60 push-ups right now, working up towards 100. I don't want to overdo it. And I walk a mile a day, and I'll be incorporating running in there before very long. Just a little word of encouragement for you. We have a patient waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest more than half a century ago to become quite knowledgeable in anything and everything to do with ham radio, two-way radio communication, radio frequency engineering, antenna engineering, and electronics in general. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. How are you today?
Really good. I was just looking up the founder of the ARRL, Mr. Hiram Percy Maxim. It turns out he's a son of the very famous Hiram Maxim, who invented the Maxim machine gun, used to great effect during World War I. In fact, we were picking up Maxim machine guns in Vietnam that were still in excellent working condition. But he founded the ARRL, the Amateur Radio Relay League, in April of 1914. Quite the inventor himself, by the way. He got involved in early development of automobiles, of all things. But the ARRL that we talk about pretty much every week is a great organization. They've been around now for more than a century, and I think they've got it right. They know what they're doing, don't they, Tom?
Well, they do, John, and they're also lobbyists, so they can lobby Congress to help the ham radio operators. They also have a section of their organization that helps with legal counsel if a ham radio operator wants to put up a antenna system or some sort of a tower in an area that maybe has rules against that. They will assist in getting those cases assistance to get the tower approved. And, you know, John, in many cases, there may be homeowner associations that prohibit antenna arrays and things like that. But the ham operators can bypass a lot of those. And in many cases, I don't know about every case, but in many cases, they are allowed to put that antenna up because it's more of a safety, and it's almost equal to law enforcement as far as communication systems go. You know, it's not like a CB setup or somebody wants to just put up a big flagpole or this or that. It's actually allowed by law. So they win many of those cases.
Well, good for them, and that's a great assistance. And my listeners run the gamut in terms of where they reside, from remote areas to dense urban populated areas. And it's good to know that if you want to put up an antenna and you're running into problems with the authorities, you have a big brother in the form of the ARRL to give you a helping hand. That's really good. And so I think the organization is worthwhile. People might want to consider joining the ARRL. And, of course, moving forward with getting their ham radio license, out in Viburnum, the closest community to me that has a government, the ham operators are looking at starting a ham club, Tom, and we have ham training scheduled. I don't have that here in front of me, but you've helped us out several times in the past, and I hope you'll be available the next time that we have our ham class. And we do want to move forward and have a ham radio club in Viburnum, Missouri. The nearest club right now, I believe, is in Farmington, which is not quite a one-hour drive away. And it would be good to have our own local club so that we can move forward with our community, helping our community instead of helping another community 45-minute drive away. But anybody can do this in their own community, right, Tom?
Oh, sure. It's not hard to do. You can get a group of ham radio operators together and other interested people that want to learn the skills and get their ham radio license. Just gather these people up and form an organization. Some of these clubs are very formal, and they have minutes, and they have rules and regulations. Some of them are just get-togethers that meet at a coffee shop or restaurant on a regular basis, and they discuss their activities and ideas and help each other with their projects. So you can organize a thing any way you want.
That's right. That's right. There's no set pattern for how these clubs get organized. So in normal times, these clubs serve a purpose for educating each other, exchanging ideas, buying and selling high-quality equipment back and forth at good prices, and the social aspect as well of having people of like mind to socialize and meeting people of like mind that are interested in preparedness is something I emphasize a lot. Because in my position as a talk radio show host here, Tom, I get inquiries about every month or two, people wanting to find out, how can I find people of like mind? Well, this is, in my opinion, the best way to do it, the best way to do it, because almost everybody involved in ham radio is also interested in preparedness, aren't they, Tom?
That's pretty much the case. You know, ham radio is still in existence because of the just the simple fact that they have stepped up to the plate when they're in times of emergency and provided communications when other systems were shut down and not operating. So, yes, there's quite an interest. And if you bring up mobile operation of radio equipment and, you know, vehicles, hand-carried radios, handheld radios like HTs, walkie-talkies, whatever you want to call them, portable equipment that can be used on a camping trip or out in the field. There is an incredible amount of interest in that with the ham radio community. So anytime you want to talk about equipment like that and maybe have a session where you demonstrate the equipment to interested parties, you will gather quite a group, and they will listen intently to what you have to say about it. So, yes, emergency communications is a big part of ham radio.
Now, I've got their scheduled upcoming events here in front of me, and the Dayton event is the big ham fest for the whole country, isn't it, sir?
It is, John, and I... Yeah, the Dayton Ham Fest, it has been for many, many years. I used to go almost every year, but I haven't been to the over there in quite a while. I did hear that they lost their the arena that they were using, the Hera Arena, and it moved to a new location. I don't know how that's all working out, but I had been there in the past when there were 30,000 people in attendance. I mean, it was quite a huge thing. And I remember them making announcements on the PA system in 4 or 5 languages. So everybody
really?
Could understand it. Oh, yeah. It was a big deal.
The national convention is 3 days, May 17, 18, and 19. The Dayton Hamvention, they call it, in Xenia, Ohio, which I assume is a suburb of Dayton. So that's coming up in, just about 6 weeks or so. If you want to go to a place where you'll see things you would never see any other place, meet people you would never meet otherwise when it comes to ham communications. And it's not just guys talking on the radio. It also involves data transmission and television, doesn't it, Tom?
Oh, it sure does. And, you know, the younger people getting involved today in ham radio are very interested in the data side of the ham operations, and they set their radios up to interface with laptop computers, tablets, sometimes even Bluetooth connections to the radio and their cell phone, where they can use a cell phone to actually connect to and operate the radio equipment and send data messages. And the interesting part about this is that you're not using the cellular system. You're using an infrastructure that you control. Your ham radio equipment and that cell phone or that tablet or laptop or desktop computer is the entire system. And the distant station that you're connected to is the other half of the infrastructure for that communication. So there's nothing in between, no big cell towers, no extensive fiber optic network, and the problems that creep into those systems that can cause havoc and equipment failures and so on. So it's very reliable. And, of course, it is subject to atmospheric conditions and the shortwave spectrum. If you're doing this on HF frequencies, you may have some outages here and there. But the nice thing about ham radio, John, is that we're allowed to switch frequencies and frequency bands, and you quickly learn which frequencies to use, which frequency bands during the night. Use the lower frequencies, and during the day use the higher frequencies for wide area coverage. And it's skills that you pick up as you go. I always refer to the to the beginners getting in with their technician license as apprenticeship, and then you can advance from there and get a general class or extra class and have all the privileges that come with those hard license classes. But you can start and communicate worldwide. As soon as you get your ham license, your call sign will be issued. You check the FCC database after you've taken your test, and the test results are sent in by the volunteer examiners. And these volunteer examiners, John, can be the same people, many of the same people that are in the ham radio club that you belong to. So it's a very relaxed atmosphere when you take the test. Not in the old days when we had to put up with going to a federal building and meeting a stone-faced FCC examiner, emotionless. They just most of them were just very stern-looking, and you had to be real careful. It was a very nerve-wracking situation. That's all changed, and they've relaxed it so much.
Well, going back to data transmission, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. I know I'm personally acquainted with men and women who are actively setting up internet workarounds, and by that I mean. To do internet-type activity without the internet. And at some future date, that may be something that needs to be done, and it may be a matter of life and death to have something to take the place, something instead of the internet. So when we talk about transmitting data, we're doing internet-type activity without the internet, right, Tom?
That's exactly correct. We are setting up our own infrastructure. There is no internet in the middle. You're contacting a station at a distant location. It could be across town, across the street, across the state, or in another country. And you're transmitting those messages directly to that station without any internet, no fiber optic, no telephone lines, no satellites, nothing. It's your signal from your transceiver to the distant station's transceiver. Now, I might mention, Jan, that encryption isn't allowed on the ham radio band, so your communications is public, and any messages you sent can be intercepted and decoded and read.
National Security Agency routinely does it on one hand. On the other, if you've got buddies with another station 100 or 1,000 miles away, if you both have the capability of doing encryption, once everything goes to hell in a handbasket, then go ahead and use the encryption despite it being illegal. The rule of law would be suspended for some period of time. And during a crisis, you do what you got to do to preserve life and property, right, Tom?
Well, that certainly makes sense, and I would think that would be the case. I think a lot of that stuff goes out the window in very difficult situations like that. The other thing I was going to say is I know people send messages that include files. There might be a file, a data file that you want to send to somebody. I don't know what the rules say about what that data file can contain. Perhaps there's an encrypted message in that data file. Perhaps you can just use that as an attachment to your data stream and just send it to the distant station that opens that data file, and then they find the encrypted message. So there's probably workarounds. There are with everything, John. You know how that goes. And I'm sure that very thing has been done. But the nice part about it is that you can't, you know, the younger crowd and a lot of people nowadays really enjoy these data modes. One of the reasons is that the signal can be very weak, and many of these stations are extremely low power. They're not running hundreds or thousands of watts. They're running very low power, and establishing communications over great distances with this low power, the equipment sees those digital signals way down in the noise, what we call the noise floor, where all you hear is a background noise, and that you can barely tell that signal is there. But the computer equipment will pick that up and decode it. So it gets through when a lot of other forms of communications are just rendered useless. Those data signals can still break through that static.
Well, this is good news. And it's the nature of our modern society, Tom, that families are spread out over from one end of the country to the other. And it's good to know that despite being 1,000 or 2,000 miles or even 3,000 miles apart, you can still have reliable, secure communications, even when the power grid's down, the cell phones don't work, and even the internet's down, that you can still have reliable, immediate, effective communications. Right, Tom?
That's correct, and data is a very good way to do it. I have to admit that I'm not really up 100% on all the data modes. There's one called FT8 that seems to be very popular and in wide use today. I've tinkered with it a little bit, but I'm not, I'm not totally up to speed on it myself. So I've got a lot to learn, and I consider myself a novice on the data modes. I understand that. The modulation schemes and the methods that are used, but how the hams set it up and talk to each other, what frequencies are best to use, I'm still on the ground floor on that. I guess I'm old school, John. Most of the time I just use Morse code, and that's not even a requirement. I don't want anybody to get put off by that, but it wasn't a requirement to get into ham radio many years ago, but they've relaxed those requirements, and the Morse code was eliminated 10 or 12 years ago, something like that.
Right. Well, that was a big roadblock for many, many people for decades, that they had a fear and a concern about having to learn Morse code. That's over. That's finished, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it's out the window. It's still very popular, and a lot of people are still wanting to learn it, even though they don't require it. They're still interested, but it's not an absolute requirement.
Hold that thought. We got a break. Call number is 800-313-9443. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about gold and silver. And my sponsor, Gold Wealth Financial, that website's goldwealthfinancial.com. Many people are unfamiliar with the benefits of investing in gold, silver, and other precious metals because they've had very little exposure to these assets. The United States gold standard ended in 1971. That means if the dollar ever collapses, your paper money investments could become worthless. However, by diversifying your portfolio, investing in gold and silver, you can protect your hard-earned assets from any future crisis or economic collapse. You need to check out their website. That's goldwealthfinancial.com. There's a link on my website at thelibertyman.com, and they have a telephone number. A telephone number is 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Thank you very much.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool town. There I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on the frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
Jared Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the last Friday of March 29th. Join myself and Leon Green on the Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. You will meet people you would never meet otherwise, learn things that you would never possibly learn otherwise, and have a lot of fun. The details at my website at thelibertyman.com. We leave Miami October 12th, and you need to get your reservations in. I've got 21 cabins reserved, and four of them are actually already spoken for. So check it out and join us on the Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. Tom, we got a caller on hold here. We got Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tom. Data communication, I just started asking questions and kind of doing some research. It takes me a long time to to sort through some of this stuff and comprehend it. There's one program out there, I guess you call it. It's called WinLink. It's my understanding you, it's a box that you attach to your radio to a certain frequency, and you can actually send emails, if you will, just like you would with the internet, but it retrieves it and holds it. If you're out on the ranch or out conducting business in White Avy, it will hold that message till you get back, and then you can retrieve it. Are you familiar with those, Tom?
Yes, I've heard of it, Jerry. I've never used it. Those systems are out there. There's even some email systems that ham operators can actually send an email through a radio link to a shore station from maybe a sailboat or a cruise ship or any kind of maritime vessel. And that's what they're mainly set up for, is for
remote. Okay, this
But I think it's a little different than that. But there's all types of systems like this going on the air on a regular basis, and new systems popping up all the time and better technologies. The ham operators are free to experiment with these data modes and improve upon them. And many commercial systems start this way. As a matter of fact, all of the systems used by law enforcement today to put those computer screens in the police cars and fire trucks and so on, much of that was developed by ham operators experimenting many years ago. The company I had back in those days, we actually made the printed circuits, the multi-layer printed circuits for the company that developed the packet radio systems. So it was, and that was 30 plus years ago that they were working with these systems, and it's improved and expanded a tremendous amount ever since then.
Sorry about that rooster. Every time I try to talk on the radio or on the phone,
we enjoy hearing the rooster. Jimmy, don't, we really do.
Well,
really,
I was listening to archives here the other day, and I didn't realize how loud some of those animals got over the radio. So, program. So, anyway, I'm trying to get away from them. There is also, I've been trying to find it. It was in a study program that for the test, and thank goodness they didn't that question come up, because I still cannot remember it. But it's a 1.25 meter frequency where they have it's not an encryption, but it constantly changes from one frequency in the 1.25 to the other, so that it's it cannot be eavesdropped on, I guess. There's a term that I can't come up with, but it's low frequency, low wattage, like I'm getting out 2 watts, 3 watts.
Well, Jerry, on 1.25. You might be referring to frequency hopping, where the equipment all the radios on that system know the sequence of frequencies that they need to be on in the time periods and all that, so they actually jump around and it's hard
frequency
to follow that.
Sequencing, I think, is what that term,
also,
something like
well,
that.
There's also spread spectrum, and that could be another thing.
Maybe
you're referring to. I don't know if spread spectrum is allowed for ham radio use yet. It is. I didn't know.
According to my, but it's very low wattage. It's like it's less than 5 watts. Maybe it is 5 watts that is permissible with ham operators, but at 1.25, which is don't seem to be real popular in ham spectrum, but it's rather intriguing. They say the military uses it, and that the ham operators are allowed to use it. It's what it was covered in that ham test online.
Okay.
So I find that rather intriguing. Hey, Dash, y'all have a good weekend,
okay,
and thank
Jerry,
you for taking
the
call.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
You only live twice. are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about my friend Steve Hunt and his company, Gold Wealth Financial. That website's goldwealthfinancial.com. There's a link at my website, thelibertyman.com. I know you've been investing in brass, ordnance, steel, and lead for years. It's time to move forward and also invest in gold and silver. Go to Steve's website, goldwealthfinancial.com. Download the free Rookie Mistakes Guide. If you don't have internet access, I know many of you don't, give him a call, and he'll mail you a copy of it. It's beautiful, 480-440-7100. I say again, 480-440-7100. Steve has put together a great team of men and women that really know their stuff, can help you learn about how to invest in gold and silver safely, economically, and do it the right way. You'll be very glad to work with Steve and his people. Thank you very much.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Gentlemen, J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the last Friday of March, March 29th. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Finally, we have a website that's smartphone compatible. We got it done. It was a struggle, to say the least. It took months, but we got it done. We're getting up the things that you've been missing. We're getting up new things that have never been there before. It's a lot of fun doing this, and it's hard work. My friend Tim Spencer has been doing this work, and I'm very proud of Tim and his capabilities. He's learning new things himself, putting this together. At my website, you'll find the notice for our Royal Caribbean cruise coming up that will be leaving Miami October 12th. Reservations have to be complete and finished by the 4th of July. That's the drop-dead date. 4th of July. If you haven't got your reservation made by then, well, you won't have it. You'll meet people you would never meet otherwise. I'll be talking about things I can't talk about on the radio. Leon Green will be there. He'll be talking about things that he can't talk about on the radio. We'll be doing educational programs once a day at while we're in port in the morning, and then twice a day while we're at sea, having dinner together every evening. All of our group, all the John Moore Patriot Symposium group. Also on our website, of course, you'll find energy cleaners for sale. If you're not waking up pain-free after a great night's sleep, what are you waiting for? Seriously, what are you waiting for? I sleep like a child every night. I wake up pain-free in the morning, refreshed, ready to hit it, and you can also. You can, seriously. Why wait? Why put it off? Energy cleanse, $285, should be included. Yes, it works, and there is a tiny percentage, about 1 or 2%, for whom it doesn't work. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee to make sure those people are taken care of. 99% of the time, you'll be one of the people that gets relief and gets a great night's sleep. I do have take PayPal, MasterCard, Visa right there at my website. You can place your order for your energy cleaner and your mattress pad that I will ship out from the Little Country Post Office at Cherryville, Missouri. It's off to the side of the Cherryville General Store where you can get all-you-can-eat catfish buffet this evening for less than $8 with sides. How about that? Get there early if you want to get some catfish. You can also call my toll-free order line. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. The number to get a brochure mailed to you for the Royal Caribbean Cruise, here's that number. Call Betsy at 636-530-9502. I say again, 636-530-9502. Friday morning, first hour, we talk with Tom Burial. We talk about the emergency survival communications, and we encourage, we nudge, we give people all the help we can to get them to not only get their ham radio license, but to join the ARRL and become part of the ham community. Right, Tom?
That's correct, John. The American Radio Relay League, ARRL, they have study materials, books, all the way from the very beginning, information for a person who's interested in ham radio, very elementary, and starting at the ground floor all the way up to extensive technical publications, very, very high-tech and complex write-ups on various subjects that are would be of interest to anybody interested and involved in the technical side of things. So their publications are some of the best.
And don't be intimidated. You may think, oh, I'm no electronics expert. You don't need to be an electronics expert. Eight-year-old boys and girls are not electronics experts, but they routinely pass these ham radio tests and get their ham radio license, don't they, Tom?
Happens all the time, and more so today than ever before. The requirements have been so relaxed in recent years, it's so much easier to get into this. If you have any interest at all, especially the young people, I would encourage parents and to bring their children to some of these ham clubs and see if there's any interest there. If you get them started at a young age, they'll soak this up like a sponge, and they'll become very, very knowledgeable on all these techniques that are used for communications and electronics, and they'll become experts in their own way.
Now, a gentleman I know pretty well, he's in the industry. He does all the installs and maintenance of all the emergency vehicles in our area. He sat down at a table and took every ham radio license test and passed every ham radio license test in one evening. And a brilliant man, by the way, and well-versed in anything and everything to do with radio communications. But he just sat down and did it, and it was like it was no big deal for him. Now, there's not many people who would even conceive or want to do that, but the point is, you can do it. You can pass these tests. Eight-year-old boys and girls routinely pass these tests, and there's a lot of families that this is one of the family hobbies, isn't it, Tom?
Oh, yeah, John, that happens all the time, and families will get the kids involved, the mom and dad. They will then get their HTs and their radios. They might have them in the car or the house, hand-carried units. And if they travel about, if they go anywhere, they have their own frequencies that they use, and they can stay in touch with each other no matter where they are. Sometimes a cell phone can't do that, but they have rapid instant communications no matter where they are with just their small group, which is their family in this case, and maybe friends get on there with them as well. But that's done all the time, and it's really not that hard. And your friend that passed all those tests at once, that's quite an achievement. I haven't taken any of these tests, John, in 45 years, and it's changed so much. The things I would have to study up on are the legal side of it, the frequencies that are used, maybe some of the law that governs the ham operators. I would have to study up on that because there's some of that information that is on those testing questions. So that's where I would have the trouble is all the changes that have taken place in all these years. I'd have to brush up on that. The technical side is what I focus on, and I probably would be able to pass those tests pretty easily. But I mean, there's a chance I could fail the test if I didn't study. So everybody does need to study. And like I said, in my case, I'd have to brush up on the law side of it. You know, what bands are used for this, and maybe like Jerry called and talked about the digital modes. I'd have to brush up on some of that. What frequency bands are those allowed on, and so on, things like that. So
right.
Many times, somebody will have a background in electronics, and that will be really helpful when they go to take their test, and then they just need to study. And the online testing websites will allow you to take a sample test online, and you can see where you in the areas that you're weak in, and you can brush up on those subjects and then take the test again and get it narrowed down to where you're consistently getting a passing grade and you're ready to go.
Well, Tom, I was studying for my test the fall of 1994. I at the time, I had an assignment in executive protection detail. And any time my principal was in a secure location, such as inside a church for a meeting, you know, I would take that time to sit in the vehicle and study my ham study guidebook. It was a challenge, to say the least, but I kept at it, and I passed my ham radio test the first time I took it. But if there's a will, there's a way, right, Tom?
That's correct. And it's I just can't believe anybody would not want to try it if they have the slightest interest, because it is really, really easy to do nowadays with just a little bit of studying. If somebody would study for 2 or 3 weeks, give it some time, a couple of nights a week, I think they could pick up on it and be ready in a month's time, John.
I know personally, I found the only thing I had issues with was memorizing the frequencies, because there was nothing to relate them to. The electronics and the technical part and the legal part, I could make sense of those pretty quickly and pretty easily. Were on one hand. On the other, the frequencies was just pure memorization with nothing to it, at least for my brain, to attach it to have any sense of what went where. So I had to just do pure memorization on the frequencies. But everybody's going to have their own situation and areas that they are going to find easier and areas they'll find more difficult. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you're correct about the frequencies. That is something that just comes naturally once you're into ham radio and you're using it quite often. But when you first start out, how would you know? So there are certain parts of this that do require some memory skills. So you have to memorize those things and learn them, and then you're ready to take the test after that. The technical side of it can maybe put some people off a bit, but I think with just a bit of studying, nearly anybody could pass this test and get on the air.
That's right. That's right. Don't be intimidated. Really, don't be intimidated. Looking at it from the outside, you may talk yourself out of it. Easily talk yourself out of it. Oh, this is too difficult. I'm not smart enough. I'm not an electronics geek. but that's not necessary. You don't need to talk yourself out of it. You need to just make that decision that you're going to study for this thing. Take the test and pass the test, and once you do, it'll be a very satisfying experience one at a time.
That's right. It really is, and it can sometimes be a little intimidating when you first get on the air the first time you're on there. So what I like to recommend is if you're a member of a club, they can help you get on the air with you and one of the other club members that you already know and you're familiar with might be one of your first contacts, and then they you can learn the on-the-air procedure and how you handle the equipment, how to set up your antenna. Those people will help you so much. So it is really a good idea to meet up with some ham radio club in your area to get that initial system set up and learn the ropes, and these people will help you. If you don't have that available in your area, you just maybe listen for a while. Put the equipment on the air and listen. Listen to what others are doing, and then they'll allow you to join their conversation many times. You can politely ask if you can join the conversation, and they'll let you do so in most cases. And then you kind of learn from experience. It doesn't take very long, though. After a few contacts, you'll be up to speed, and it becomes natural after that.
Right, right. I've seen the same thing, Tom, with new pilots when they're just getting their training and learning to be a pilot of an aircraft, that they'll feel very intimidated about talking to the air traffic control people and fearful of that until they've done it a few times and they get used to it and they know that the radio's not going to bite them and nobody's going to make fun of them. But that's an expected thing, is to be fearful and to feel intimidated until you get past it, right, Tom?
That's correct. It's in anything that you set out to do, and it's new and it's something you're not used to. You just have to learn it and take it slow, and you pick up on it pretty quick, and it becomes second nature after a short period of time.
Absolutely. Practice, practice, practice. A fun hobby, and not terribly expensive. As hobbies go, this is really on the low end of expense, quite frankly. And so it's fun and interesting and serves a very useful real-world purpose that could, in the future, be a matter of life and death, right, Tom?
That's correct. And in a time of need, if systems are down, and I've said this before, John, when, say, a hurricane, tornadoes, storms, wind damage, if the communication systems are not working properly for law enforcement, those people, you know, they just use the radio equipment as a tool. It's part of what they do. And they may not have the expertise to get that system back on the air, whereas the ham radio operators have full control of their system. They set it up from scratch, and they put it on the air. They build their antennas or purchase one and set it up. They know everything about it, and they're able to get that equipment on the air and operating in pretty short order and get those get some communications going. And they do this quite often. It's one of the reasons that ham radio still exists to this very day, for emergency backup uses like that. And I don't know if it's so much today, but in the old days, John, it was also a ready supply of trained communications experts that also knew Morse code for military use.
Right. Well, I was visiting a ham radio operator in my county, and he took me to his radio shack. His radio shack was a bedroom in his home that had been cleaned out and made into a ham shack. And he said, I looked walking there, I was thoroughly impressed. And he says, John, I can do everything they do at CENTCOM. CENTCOM, of course, is the 911 communication center for our county. He says, I can do everything they do right here, right now, if I need to. And that's not all that unusual, is it, Tom?
No, it really isn't, because the equipment that the hams uses very similar modulation setups. So the modulation methods are the same, you know, FM two-way radio. Some a lot of the law enforcement has gone to digital, and some of them are even encrypted, and that's not allowed on the ham bands yet. Maybe in the future, who knows? But the equipment is very, very similar. As a matter of fact, John, many ham systems, repeater systems, and radio systems are set up using surplus commercial equipment. The very same equipment that the police and fire departments use can also be retuned and put on the ham radio frequencies. And it's very high quality equipment, very reliable, and many hams use that. I had built several repeater systems in the past using that type of equipment. So it worked and was very, very reliable. Those systems are very reliable.
Well, at my place, we have surplus equipment from a couple of lettered agencies at the highest level, I should say, world-class transceivers. And these kinds of things are sold at Hamfest and on eBay for basically scrap metal for 10 cents on the dollar, aren't they, Tom?
Yeah, many times. A lot of that equipment was outdated several years back when the mandate came down from FCC that everybody had to go to narrowband. This was on commercial systems. There were a few exceptions to this, but very few. And all these commercial systems, law enforcement, fire, taxi cabs, everybody had to go to this narrowband equipment, and that put just tons and tons of surplus radio equipment on the market. It either went to the dump or it was sold to ham operators or exported to other third world nations. But John, you could pick stuff up for $25. It may have been a $3,000 radio when it was.
That's
new.
Right. Hold that thought, Tom. We got a break. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. I want to talk to you for a moment about my friend Steve Hunt and his company, Gold Wealth Financial. That's goldwealthfinancial.com. You may not know, I didn't know until recently, that you could have gold and silver in your IRA. It's a wonderful idea. Many IRAs are subject to problems such as inflation or, in the event of an invested IRA, fluctuations in the stock market. Few people realize there's a smaller alternative, a precious metals IRA. Contact Steve at goldwealthfinancial.com. If you don't have internet access, give them a call at 480-440-7100. Be sure and ask for the Rookie Mistakes Guide. It's free. He'll mail it to you. If you don't have internet access, he'll drop a copy in the mail to you. If you do have internet access, it's a free download at his website at goldwealthfinancial.com. Great people, great service. Get in contact with my friend Steve Hunt. Thank you very much.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 29th of March. Well, Tom, I get reports back from listeners, ham radio people. They listen every week. They tell people about the show, and they encourage people to listen. So I know we're having a very positive impact here nationwide and worldwide, because ham radio is a worldwide hobby, isn't it, sir?
Well, it certainly is, John, and it's amazing who you can talk to in various parts of the world. Some of these places people have never even heard of. There's countries that most people never even heard the name of that country, and you can talk to somebody there, and they have similar interests as you, and they have their equipment set up. There might be a language barrier, but sometimes you can get past that, and it really is quite interesting, and you can learn quite a bit from talking to these people in foreign countries.
Right.
Of course, I focus on that.
Right. You focus on what?
Well, I was going to say, I enjoyed that when I first got on as a kid, and then I started focusing on the technical side of it and learned quite a bit about electronics from doing that. So it was, there's so many different directions you can go with it, and you can find what works best for you, where your interests are, and just go that direction, and if there's no restrictions on that, you can do as much or as little with it as you want.
That's right. That's right. It's purely a matter of personal choice, how involved you get, what you learn, what equipment you buy, and it's purely up to individual, and everybody in the club will respect that, won't they, Tom?
Well, they certainly will, and the best part is if you develop some expertise in a certain area, you'll be able to help others at the club when they have some issues with certain types of equipment or a procedure or on-the-air style or maybe a technical problem. You'll be able to help them out, and then they'll help you with their area of expertise. They'll be able to help you and others as well. So there's a lot of sharing that goes on in these clubs, and it's really a great thing to do is join one and get involved. And,
right. I know, for example, the gentleman I was talking about earlier, if I need a piece of coax cut and what the connector is put on, I can call him up, tell him which coax I need, which type, which connectors I need, tell him how long it is, and he'll say, John, come by at noon tomorrow and pick it up. Which, that's just a tremendous thing to be able to do that, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it is. It is. And you'll find out who knows how to do what and where their area of expertise is, and you'll know who to call on. Sometimes, John, it's, you know, not all of us can know everything, but sometimes the most important thing is knowing who to call when you need help in a certain area. Just knowing that the right person is the most important thing.
It may not even be a ham person. I had to talk to a mechanic. I wanted to get through the firewall of my town car without making a new hole. So I went to an expert, and I said, can you get this power cord through this firewall without making a new hole? He said, sure, John, I can take care of that for you. Tom, thank you.
Thank you, John.
I appreciate it. We have a top of the hour break. We'll be back with Dr. Linville. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.